Numbers 28, verses 1 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Give this command to the Israelites and say to them, 'See that you present to me at the appointed time the food for my offerings made by fire, as an aroma pleasing to me. Say to them, this is the offering made by fire that you are to present to the Lord. Two lambs a year old without defect as a regular burnt offering, and prepare one lamb in the morning and the other at twilight, together with a grain offering of a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives. This is the regular burnt offering instituted at Mount Sinai as a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. The accompanying drink offering is to be a quarter of a hin of fermented drink with each lamb. Pour out the drink offering to the Lord at the sanctuary. Prepare the second lamb at twilight, along with the same kind of grain offering and drink offering that you prepare in the morning. This is an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, make an offering of two lambs a year old without defect, together with its drink offering, and a grain offering of two tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, and in addition to the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the first of every month, present to the Lord a burnt offering of two young bulls, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old, all without defect. With each bull, there is to be a grain offering of three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With the ram, a grain offering of two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. And with each lamb, a grain offering of a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. This is for a burnt offering, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. With each bull, there is to be a drink offering of half a hin of wine, with the ram, a third of a hin, and with each lamb, a quarter of a hin. This is the monthly burnt offering to be made at each new moon during the year, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offerings. One male goat is to be presented to the Lord as a sin offering.
Because my time is kind of short, I'm not going to ask you the questions right offhand. I will get into what I want to talk about first. Then you can ask questions afterwards, okay? Fair enough? Okay, first of all, we see some things I want to bring out to you. The Hebrew words that are very fascinating here, which we will have to have some kind of a touch. I didn't get a chance. But this one in verse 4, some of your writings, okay. A lamb, one lamb you shall, and the word is offer. You got that in most of your translations? Does anybody else have another word? All right. Then let's go to the 11th verse. It says, and the beginning of your months you shall, and it says present. The different Hebrew word, and some of your translations may have the word offer in there. Okay, there's a definite distinct between the two different words. And the reason why is because it's a kind of important to do. The first one is to make. So we have verse 4 there, it says to make. And we have that in verse 8 rather, is to make, which also leads into the Sabbath portion of it, is to make. Now the next one is to, Hebrew word is to approach. And you're approaching now. To God, but you're not. Who has to approach God? The Levites approach. The high priest wanted to do the approach. So what we're seeing here is what the Israelites are to do to get it ready, to do all the functions and all the formulas they have there. And but they themselves do not bring it unto the altar. They do not bring it unto where the whole offering is, because who's supposed to do that? The priest. The priest does that. So now, so we have two different words there. So if you do have that translation in there, where it says in that verse 11, if you use the word offering, that's kind of, remember, that's the function of the priesthood, because the priest is not making anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is actually doing the offering here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's different words. One is the function of the Israelites to do, and the other function is what the priest does, because Israelites cannot offer anything into on the whole offering. They can't offer anything out there. That's what the priest does. He presents that. So some of your translations have the word present. It's a pretty good meaning. But on the other hand, it's kind of no difference, because as you go through this section or any of the offering sections, sometimes you may have to read and find out what that Hebrew word says and tells you what you are to do compared to what the priest is to do. Okay? So different off functions. How does that relate now to the Messiah?
Oh my. Both ways. He was offered.
We present something, we make something, put together, quote, a package deal, and we give it to whom? The Messiah. What does the Messiah do? He approaches the eternal God. So it's kind of like a prayer system. Why he said, if you want to make a prayer, go to where? Go through me. All right, do you understand what I'm saying real quick? So we make a prayer. We make an offering of praise, an offering of singing unto God in our modern times, because book of, won't go to Romans today, but to understand that that's what we do, and he presents it. He gives it unto the Father, and the Father receives it. Now the function of the high priest is to make sure you get the formula right. Okay? That's why it says here, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children, this is what you are to do when you're going to give me something. This is what I want. This is how you're to do it. This is the formula or the method by which I want you to do it. Which in a lot of ways we stop and think for a moment. When you're going to give an offering to God, or you're going to perform something to God like he wants, certain things he wants, we won't have time today to go into it. Then you say, okay, this is what God wants. Doesn't he want me? Well, no, he wants this. So you give that to him. You prepare it, and then you present it unto the Messiah, and the Messiah then therefore gives it or presents it unto the Creator. Understand what I'm saying so far? All right. Hope I don't get too lost too soon here. The interesting thing is the numbers. There's a really science to studying numbers that are completely within the Bible. It's very long and laborious, so I don't have time to go through them. But I want you to pay attention to the numbers. Two lambs. Why not 20? Why not one? Why not seven? Why not? Why two lambs? We're talking about the very first section of this one here. And it says, make a few offerings to the Lord, make two lambs of the first year, first two, without blemish, day by day. It's an unusual word. It's not that what it says in Hebrew. But nonetheless, and a regular whole offering. So now there are two lambs that you are to be ready, make ready. And it's going to be a whole offering. You don't eat it. Where's it go? Coals up, and it turns into smoke. It literally is burnt up. Turns into smoke, and the smoke arises or ascends up. The word for approach, I said you there, verse 11, is the same word that's used for ascending or to ascend upward. When you're walking a set of stairs, you're going up, you are ascending. Approaching. You're approaching the top. Alright. It's a kind of a play on word, but you understand what I'm saying here. So when you present to God, and then that comes up, and you are approaching, that's the Messiah is approaching something, and he's going to give it unto the Holy of Holies. He's going to present that into the throne of God himself. Whole offering always is the greatest offering. And this is to be done on the day. In which says, day by day, in Hebrew it says, in the day. When is in the day? Well, it has to be the appointed time, the certain time in which this is to be done. When is it to be done?
Every day.
In the morning?
And in the evening.
All right. That's very interesting. Now, what does that mean? Boker means morning in Hebrew, and Erev means evening. When is morning morning? I'm sorry, what?
When the sun comes up?
Okay.
No, in the evening. The morning starts in the evening.
When is morning morning? Mm-hmm. Commandment says morning first and evening second. I'm going to grab some here. Sundown, that's not morning. Sun's coming up. Okay. That's a very interesting word about Bokor. You know what the word means? In okay. I'm sorry, what?
It's morning.
Yeah. It really means to break forth. That's what it means, to break forth. So it's breaking forth from the darkness. It means break forth from that which once was. So now you're breaking forth out of and from darkness into light. Light brings forth that breaking forth. Breaking is breaking into something. And God said, let there be light. Light broke forth. Okay, now evening is a very interesting word. When does evening start?
At noon.
Very important to know. In Hebrew, there is no word for afternoon. If that, what it says, the evening is a time when that sun reaches its highest peak arc, and then it begins to go down. That's called Erev. Not evening, not darkness, not nighttime. It's called Erev. When was the Passover sacrifice?
Evening.
Between the two evenings. Right? And that's what that says in Hebrew, between the two evenings. How can you have two evenings in one day? It's right smack dab when the evening begins and the evening is completed, right in the middle. What time is that?
Three o'clock.
And so, when the whole offering, or I should say, when this particular whole offering was given for the lamb, at 3 o'clock, that's when it was given. Now we have to ask ourselves a question. Bokor breaks forth. Now, do you think that the first offering that was in the morning was as soon as the sun came up? Or was it when the sun comes up to dead noon?
It takes time to kill
it. It takes time. So you got from, about what time do you think the second one, first one was done? Probably about 9 o'clock, plus or minus. All right. Go from 6 to 12, 12 to 6. That's what you have to think about. And this is old Hebrew now. We're looking at old Hebrew, not modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew has modern words for afternoon. They also have a modern word for mid-morning. But ancient Hebrew, there is no word for mid-morning, and there's no word for mid-afternoon. Okay, so it's a time period that we're talking about. That's the appointed time. You don't do it because, oh, sun's coming up, let's hurry and kill an animal, and sun's going down, and getting too dark. No, there's appointed time, a certain time which it was done on a very regular basis. And killing the Passover will tell you more than anything else what that time was. We won't be able to get into Passover today. I'm going to run out of time here. Any quick questions? I got so much to tell you here. Now, it says, real quick here, it says, one-tenth of an ephod. Okay, an ephod is what? It's like a bushel. Real small bushel, 0.068 of a bushel, or an ephod. I'm sorry, what?
About a half a gallon.
The one-tenth of it is about a half a gallon or two quarts. Well, I want to clarify the numbers now. One-tenth means what? One out of ten. Ten is a very important number in God's. Can't talk about today. And then about the oil, one quarter. Oh, there's one out of four. A four is a very important number, biblically and prophetically. Can't go in that today. I'm over time. Then we got this one about the wine offering. One in four. That's interesting. Now we do that on a daily basis. Or they did it on a daily basis. So I want you to pay attention to the numbers, because the numbers are going to come as time goes by, and I'll explain to you more and more of what. There are certain numbers that are perfect. One of them is number four. Second number is very perfect is seven. Third number that's very perfect is 12. All right? Now, in mathematics, we live on what's, well, not we, our dollar system is based upon the base of 10, right? Okay, but our foot's not based on base of 10, is it? It's based on the base of 12. Okay? And so we're kind of used to thinking we can go from this base to that base to this base. Now, when it comes to biblical thinking, you got to think, base is 4. Oh, over here, base is 7. Over here, the base is 12. Okay? Now, in this base of 7, what's the conclusion of 7? Shabbat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Shabbat. Fascinating word about the word Shabbat. What do you think it means?
Rest.
Rest, says rest, but you know, we got that translated. But it's very fascinating. That means to bring to a stop. Bring to a halt. That's what it means. The word Shabbat in Hebrew, this word means to cease or cause to cease, cause to come to an end, cause to finish. Don't participate, we say. Keep the Sabbath. So when God says, keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy, what are we supposed to do? Stop! We're supposed to come to an end. We're supposed to finish it. We're not supposed to, he said, end it. You know, so 7 is the completion. The number of complete completion. 12 was the number of perfect organization. Right? What's 4? That'll come later. There are 4 points of heaven and there are 4 points of earth. Now, when we think of points, what do we think of?
Direction.
We think of direction. But we also think of, there's a point, there's a point, there's a point. Was earth square?
Yeah.
No. Is it heaven square? No. What is it? It's circular. It's round. Okay. Now we can understand this because the equator is a what? Point of equator. We're at the point of the equator. Don't think of a square. It's where it comes from one point to that point. North or south. It's not in a square. It's in a sphere. And the heavens are all in the very same thing. It's a complete sphere. Now we have the four horsemen of apocalypse. That's interesting. Why four? Then we have the altar of four horns. Wonder what that means. Is that any relationship to anything? Okay. So we're taking a quarter of the oil. Or we're taking 1 out of 4 oil. Now the oil is generally mixed. Very interestingly. The oil is generally mixed. And then we have this wine. I'll close it real quick here now. Wine, tell you why the Jewish people in Judaism, they use Mogan David wine. Why? It's sweet. Interesting phrase, because the word translated in English may have strong drink. Well, you know, we think strong. It does mean intoxicated stuff. I mean, it's got some alcohol in it. Because if you let wine ferment to its normal, how high does it go? 22 degrees. 20% of it is alcohol. Well, we have wine here. We don't drink that because we got down where it's only 12. But nonetheless, understand this. So strong does not mean, oh, I'm going to have myself a whiskey sour here. No 100 proof. Talk about wine here. The other terminology of strong wine can mean liqueur, sweet. And so in the Jewish world, they turn and they use that, knowing that ancient word, have sweet wine. I want to do one more thing, and they'll call it quits. I've got to show you this. And in Genesis 35th chapter, first time this word is used, when Jacob came back to Bethel. Verse 14. Where are we at now? And so Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had talked with him, a pillar stone, and he poured a drink offering on it and poured oil upon it. This is the first indication where the, quote, strong drink was poured upon this rock. And what does the rock represent?
Christ.
The Messiah. It represents the Messiah. And the oil, what did they use oil for? To anoint kings. So what was Jacob doing? Anointing the king. Okay? That's a beautiful rendition to understand some of the things Jacob did. It also has a negative connotation, which I won't go there today. Not connotation, a negative approach, which I don't want to go there today. But I'm going to run out of time, so any quick questions?
I have a quick comment.
Okay.
The two lambs, a burnt continual offering. Continual.
Okay, I'll get the word continual. Go ahead.
That's it.
The word continual is okay. The Hebrew phrase sounds like it means forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And it's a very interesting terminology. And it says very specifically what it says. We're in the wrong chapter here. And it says, verse 6, a regular whole offering, which was ordained or set in motion at Mount Sinai. Okay, it's at Mount Sinai, which it was established. During the 40 years of wilderness, they didn't do this. Now they're going to come into the Promised Land. When they enter into the Promised Land, they're going to start doing this on a regular, continuous basis. That's what that word means. You're going to start doing it again until it reaches a point when... See, God is not one that makes a command. By the way, did I tell you last week there's two different words for command? Right? One is, I'm talking to the mouth, and then when it's law. This one here has to do with, I'm telling you to do this. Okay? Until I tell you to stop doing it. See? Do you understand what I'm saying? The Ten Commandments are law. Alright? When it comes to the offerings, they are command. I'm commanding you to do something. And she goes, does it. She's finished the command. She doesn't have to continue on doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once it's been done, it's been done. They don't have to do it again. The law is something different. That's how you live by. That's what you live by. That's how you conduct your life. And that's a continuous basis. Yes.
It's very hard to sacrifice when there's no temple anyway.
Well, that's not important. I understand what you're saying. But it's just still not, that's not the point of the lesson of what's... Yes.
Okay, I'm in verse 3 for a continual burnt offering. I'm thinking about how Jesus continually intercedes to God for us. And I'm thinking about how I continually sacrifice unto my Lord.
Right. Okay, we are looking here. I'm looking very carefully here. I understand what you're saying. What I've been reading, even all Hebrew translations, is how the two lambs are to be done to its appointed day will be done continuously in this manner. The command is what we do. So in our continuous manner, we are to present unto God the lamb, the oil, and the wine. That's what is continued. That's what was commanded. That's what began at Mount Sinai. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're not just saying that's forever. What I'm saying is that, yes, you should, by your prayers, the Apostle Paul says that, by your glorifying, by your praising God, by your going before God and giving Him honor and giving Him glory, that you continue on doing. Like Apostle Paul used the word, you pray continually.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean, oh, I got to keep on praying until I'm dead. No, don't stop it. Just keep going. Don't just say, I pray today and I'll do it tomorrow. Well, no, do it tomorrow. You continue on doing that on a daily basis. And that's what the two lamps are about. It's giving prayer to God on a daily basis. Continue it on. When? In Bokur and in Erev. That's all God requires. Just twice a day.
At the appointed times.
At the appointed times. Now, we may not be able to get those appointed times, but that's just saying, you understand what I'm trying to reach at? We get to say, oh God, I'll pray to you sometime. See, I gotta get, first thing I'll do is pray. I'm 3 minutes in, that's all I need. You know, before you go to bed, 3 minutes, I got in. You know, just when the sun came up, just before it went down, you know. No, what do you do? Yes.
On the new moons,
going way over time.
One of the things that they've pretty well disregarded this in most of Judaism, and yet in verse 2 it says, you shall be careful to offer to me.
Okay, I'm going to have to continue on next week. You've got a subject matter which is going to lead into it. I'm going to have to continue next week. So next week I'll go from verse 11 to the end of the chapter and probably into the second chapter, because it involves all the holidays all at once. It's really hard to separate the 28th chapter from the 29th chapter, but it's real difficult because they're all connected. Okay, first things first. We have the first things first. Okay, I'm sorry I couldn't answer your... Okay. There are so many things that I've learned in studying this stuff. It's incredible. And the numbers, it's very, very fascinating.